are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock back again on this Wednesday episode, a crossover Wednesday. Bo Brock of Locked On Cardinals will be joining me. And man, we just chatted less than 2 weeks ago before Thursday night football. An odd schedule this year for the 49ers and a short week here. We're already on to the Wednesday crossover episode. And for a lot of you 49ers fans, probably a good thing to turn the page and get past that first loss of the season. So we'll talk about Cardinals 49ers coming up in week 11 with Bo Brock, who will be joining me in segment number two. I do want to talk about the injury report for the 49ers following Monday Night Football. Kyle Shanahan was on a conference call, and we got a lot of details about the 49ers that we will cover in segment number one. And Shanahan taking his gloves off a little bit, talking about one young wide receiver that needs to step up. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review, tell a friend about Locked On 49ers. We're on all of your favorite podcast apps. You can find me on Twitter at BDPeacock. You can email the show LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. You can go to LockedOn49ers.com, find the streams of the pod. You can find where to subscribe there. And you can find other articles like the most recent, which for fans that are maybe down on Jimmy Garoppolo, go refresh yourself. A film room piece by Chris Wilson, his brother Aaron Wilson helping out, doing some videos, breaking down the top five throws from Jimmy Garoppolo so far as a 49er. Some dimes on there for sure at LockedOn49ers.com. And hopefully we'll see that Jimmy Garoppolo again, as we did a couple of Thursdays ago this Sunday. Let's start with the schedule news. The 49ers have been officially flexed into prime time. There's been a lot of talk and speculation which games, if any, the 49ers would end up in prime time with the record that they have. And it sounds like the league has made it official now. The Green Bay Packers at San Francisco 49ers week 12 has been flexed from Sunday afternoon to Sunday night football. That's the Sunday, November 24th game coming up here in a couple weeks. That'll be a primetime game now, 5:20 p.m. kickoff instead of 1:25 p.m. kickoff Pacific time. Packers at 49ers, which should be a good one. And week 16, that will officially be a Saturday night game. Los Angeles Rams at 49ers, 5:15 p.m. kickoff Pacific. That one on NFL Network, week 16. So the 49ers, a couple more primetime games there. Sunday night, week 12 against the Packers, and Saturday night, week 16 against the Rams. Kyle Shanahan talking to reporters Tuesday afternoon and some updates to various injuries that have stricken the 49ers. First of all, very bad news for Ronald Blair, who made a fantastic play on Russell Wilson Monday night. Maybe the best play of his career, tracking him down as he tried to scamper out of the pocket. Torn ACL for Ronald Blair. He will go to injured reserve and be done for the season. On a related note, Kyle Shanahan did say that defensive end DeMontre Moore, who was with the 49ers in camp, is coming in for a workout. Might be some others also coming in for a workout that could potentially be added to the roster. And Kentavious Street, who also could be activated from injured reserve. Kyle said he's more of an inside guy, so it doesn't sound like they want to lean in the direction of bringing in Kentavious Street. They want a more pure edge player, so the odds-on favorite there is DeMontre Moore. If he comes in and looks like he's in shape and looks like the similar guy they saw in camp and in the preseason, DeMontre Moore could be your guy added to the 49ers roster, so stay tuned there. One of the injuries I didn't realize happened Monday night was Matt Breida. He is now day-to-day with an ankle injury. DJ Jones, he will miss at least a week, and he had a fantastic start to that game Monday night, so unfortunate that the 49ers' only real true nose tackle will not be playing this Sunday, it looks like. Hopefully it's not longer term than that for DJ Jones, who just completely put Joey Hunt in the lap of Russell Wilson early in that football game, and I think that was a bummer and maybe a big impact on the 49ers defensive line not having DJ Jones for the rest of that game. Joe Staley, it looks like his leg is okay, even though he was a little bit rusty coming back from that layoff, but now he has a finger fracture or a finger dislocation. They're not sure what. He's getting a second opinion. That could be a problem and potentially keep Staley out again now for another couple of weeks. So bad news there for Joe Staley, whose season can't really get any legs underneath it. Emmanuel Sanders, good news there. It's a rib cartilage injury, so not broken ribs. It's not going to be a 3 to 4 week injury. It will probably be more like a week to week, day to day type injury for Emmanuel Sanders. And definitely not ruled out yet, even for this Sunday. It will be a game time decision, according to Kyle Shanahan. George Kittle, he's in the same situation he was last week. Kyle Shanahan, hopeful, says Kittle is a unique player and will probably not be listed as out until the day of the game, much like last week, but it's something that's a serious enough injury that he could still miss one more game, dealing with both knee and ankle injuries from that hyperextension that happened last time the 49ers faced the Cardinals. Robbie Gould, also same situation as last week. He said it's not as bad of an injury as George Kittle has, but he's a kicker, and it's a quad, and it's a leg injury, so kickers rely on their legs almost solely, and he might not be able to go. In that case, it would be Chase McLaughlin again. And look, I didn't really have that much of a problem in how Chase McLaughlin kicked. He shanked the one, but 3 of 4 is not bad. I'll take the backup kicker 3 of 4, 75% the rest of the way, as long as he needs to play. I have no problem with that percentage. Akella Witherspoon's getting closer. He is day-to-day officially. And Kyle Shanahan said, and especially when it relates to Emmanuel Mosley, he said that Witherspoon, when he's ready, will get that starting right cornerback job back, but he needs to prove he is ready and for real ready. He needs 3 good practices. Mosley has played at such a high level since being plugged in there, so Akello would need a full week of practice to prove he is ready, and when that is the case, he will jump back in as the starting right cornerback. But really nice for the 49ers to have found another starting caliber cornerback. Mosley, even if he's not starting at right corner, can definitely jump in at any time and play left side, right side, on the outside, or slot corner. And I think the most interesting comment by Kyle Shanahan in that conference call was about second-year wide receiver Dante Pettis. The coach was asked about the consistency issues and the missed opportunities from Dante Pettis. He was targeted 3 times, came down with 0 catches on Monday Night Football. He's not doing a good job of hiding his disappointment anymore in the young wide receiver.
He's had a number of opportunities. I'm one of the guys that believe in him the most. That's why he's here. And he's had his opportunities. The more he doesn't take advantage of his opportunities, the less opportunities he gets. But he did get a couple last night because of injury. And I didn't think he made them. So we'll see how this week goes. But Dante has the ability. But we're waiting for him to pick it up and have the consistency and take advantage of some of these opportunities he's gotten.
There was some disappointment from Kyle Shanahan about Dante Pettis and his development preseason, but this is definitely the most definitive statement Kyle Shanahan has made toward Dante Pettis. And it's safe to say that Dante Pettis is squarely in Kyle Shanahan's doghouse, and like just disappointment, like father-son disappointment, it sounds like, from Shanny when it comes to Pettis. And Pettis has been surpassed not only by Deebo Samuel, but Kendrick Bourne, all seeing much more playing time than both Pettis and Marquise Goodwin, which is really an interesting development. Let's cross it over with Bo Brock of Locked On Cardinals. This episode is brought to you in part by Greg's Tax Service. Honest and straightforward, Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for 25 years. They can help with any number of tax problems, including unfiled returns, back taxes, IRS collection, and audit representation. Find out more at gregstaxservice.com. All right, this is a good time to tell the fellas out there about Blue Chew. Guys, do you remember when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, bluechew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. For instance, most guys talk a good game, but if you're one and done, Blue Chew can even help you follow through for round 2. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, No waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. And they're made right in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On to try it free. Blue Chew is the cheaper, better, faster choice. BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On. We thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Long day at work, tough day at school, still stuck at the office. Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you with DoorDash. DoorDash connects you to your favorite restaurants in your city. Ordering is super easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and food will be delivered to you wherever you are. Not only is your favorite pizza joint already on DoorDash, but there are over 340,000 restaurants in 3,300 cities, so you might find a new favorite too. With door-to-door delivery in all 50 states and Canada, order from your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Chipotle, Wendy's, Chick-fil-A, and the Cheesecake Factory. Don't worry about dinner. Let dinner come to you with DoorDash. Right now, our listeners can get up to $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code Locked On. That's one word, Locked On, and $5 off your first order when you download the DoorDash app from the App Store and enter promo code Locked On. Don't forget, that's promo code Locked On for $5 off your first order from DoorDash. Here we are, another Locked On Podcast Network crossover episode. Brian Peacock here of Locked On 49ers. I am with Bo Brock of Locked On Cardinals. Bo's about, what, I think we figured out it was 12 days since the last time we talked to each other here. Such an odd schedule for the 49ers. We've got primetime games, we've got Thursday, we've got Monday, and then turning around again, playing the Arizona Cardinals, this time at Levi's Stadium.
Yeah, what a difference a couple days makes for the Arizona Cardinals. Since then, they've lost twice. The Niners, they've won one, lost one, their first blemish of the season. So I think it's going to be an interesting game to break down, because the first game was so exciting, a lot closer than I think both of us anticipated.
It was a really good game. It was a fun one to watch, and hopefully it's another fun one this Sunday. And the 49ers fans out there that suffered their first loss of the season, They forgot what it's like to lose, man. It's been a long time and some upset fans, and you have to take a step back and think, okay, wait, we're still 8-1 here. That is a best case scenario coming into the season right now. So the 49ers still in good shape and potential to be even better than they have been at any point this season with how well the defense is playing and with some development to happen on the offensive side of the ball. They're dealing with some injuries, though, that I think really hurt them last week. It was George Kittle and Emmanuel Sanders, and I think missing both of those guys at the same time. And look, the 49ers were 6-0 heading into the trade deadline when they acquired Emmanuel Sanders. So Emmanuel Sanders isn't necessary for the 49ers to win, but they weren't able to run the ball against Seattle. They're missing Sanders, who had jumped in immediately and became their wide receiver one and their number one overall receiver, and a guy who's great in the pass, great in the run game in George Kittle. Missing all of those things together, I think, is what really hurt them against the Seahawks, even though the defense looks like it's going to keep them in there pretty much every week, no matter what's happening and what injuries are happening on the offensive side of the ball. But you need the offense to go win it for you, and Garoppolo was able to do it in the passing game against the Cardinals on Thursday night. Monday Night Football, not able to do it against the Seahawks. So that's what the 49ers are dealing with right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we saw Jimmy G toss for 4 touchdowns against the Cardinals a few days ago. And then last night, I mean, he played well. Of course, he had a couple instances where you were holding your breath on a couple near interceptions late in that contest. But he certainly played well, not like he did against the Cardinals. But I think he's looking at this Sunday as probably a get-right game. But as you mentioned, those two weapons that they were missing in George Kittle, and he's hopeful he can play on Sunday. And then you talk about Emmanuel Sanders. Sure, you had Debo Samuel kind of have a coming out party last night, 8 catches, 112 yards, or a couple nights ago, I should say, in primetime on Monday Night Football. But then that Emmanuel Sanders role, that slot, born, you saw him drop a couple easy passes. He did not just slide right into things, and you got to be maybe a little worried about the receiving core going against the Cardinals despite their secondary struggles.
Yeah, and it was a get-right game for Jimmy Garoppolo, but he had both Kittle and Sanders out there. And both those guys look like it's going to go down to the wire, and there'll be game-time decisions again in a quick turnaround, 6 days coming back to play Sunday. They get to stay at home, which is good, no travel, but that's an interesting one. And that really hurts the 49ers, having both of those guys out. And you mentioned Deebo Samuel, who is on a typical rookie development curve, so you don't know if you can trust him week to week, but man, he's got a passion, and I love the way he plays. He plays big. He got the nickname Deebo for a reason, and you saw that Monday night, and it looks like if it continues to be that way as far as Kittle and Sanders being out, he's going to be the target hog for the 49ers, and the Niners just have a really weird wide receiver group as it is. I talked about it in the opening segment. Kyle Shanahan is tough love for Dante Pettis. He was 0-for-3 on his three targets, and he said basically, yeah, he's not doing it. He's got opportunities, and he's not living up to his opportunities, and that's that with Dante Pettis. So the gloves are off there, and so much youth, and Marquise Goodwin started the game and somehow disappeared, wasn't involved, and then Kendrick Bourne dropping passes, but they left him in there, even though they didn't bring Goodwin or Pettis back onto the field, despite the drops from Kendrick Bourne. So just a weird group for Jimmy Garoppolo to throw to, and he wasn't perfect, but he needs some help as well on offense, and there was constant pressure in his face, mostly from Jadeveon Clowney. And we do want to talk about some matchups here with the Cardinals and the 49ers, but just more big picture stuff. I never have any idea how to pick the Cardinals because they play everybody so close. It's almost like they play to the opponents. They play well against good teams, and they play poorly against bad teams, and it always seems to be a pretty close game, and the Cardinals are in it, but obviously their record shows that they've lost a lot more than they've won. Is that accurate representation of what the Cardinals have been doing this year?
I mean, they've taken care of business for the most part against the teams they should beat. You know, your Bengals, your Giants, they beat those teams. As far as the teams that are better than them, they've lost to them. They've lost those games against the Niners. They've lost the games against the Saints and the Seahawks. As far as those middle-of-the-road guys, like the Lions, they tied with the Lions. Carolina, they had a pretty easy win against the Cardinals, which I think everybody was kind of shocked by. I think a lot of people have been shocked by Carolina, though, since Kyle Allen's taken over. Nobody anticipated them playing as well as they have. But, yeah, I can certainly see that. They certainly played up to the level of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That was a game that got away from them, and the difference in that game, Brian, was Kyler Murray, for the first time in 211 pass attempts, threw an interception that was crucial. It was backbreaking. It was the first time in his career that he's turned the ball over. And when you take care of the football, you can play with anybody. And that's what Kyler Murray's done in his first season, and that's given the Cardinals the ability to play with anybody. And the margin for error is not large for the Cardinals. I mean, it's minuscule. So if they turn the ball over, and they hadn't done it for a long time, it breaks their back and they lose. And I think that's been the biggest key in 2019, despite them being 3-6-1, they've been basically in most contests each and every week.
Real quick, if you had to give an early report card to Cliff Kingsbury, from the outside looking in, I would think that Cardinals fans have to be pretty happy with the job he's done with a roster that was pretty gutted and switching quarterbacks again and trying to implement an entirely new system and a new culture there. I think I've been kind of impressed with how they've hung around with some teams. And after those first four games with the three losses and a tie to start the season, they've been in every single football game except for the Saints game, played the 49ers tough, played the Buccaneers tough. I like the direction it's going.
Yeah, I mean, last week against the Buccaneers, he had a gutsy call on fourth down. It was a fake punt flea flicker. And I didn't stutter there. That's what happened, Brian. There was a fake punt flea flicker where Andy Lee threw about a 26-yard pass on a line that was recepted, and they moved the chains, but it had you holding your breath. It was in the Cardinals' own territory. That's one of the plays where if you're a first-year head coach and that goes your way, that's awesome. But if we remember a couple weeks ago against the San Francisco 49ers, there was a goal line stand that the Cardinals had made, but Cliff Kingsbury, a guy who handles the offensive play calling on defense, with the Cardinals on defense, they had stuffed the 49ers at the goal line. It was going to go into halftime, and it was probably going to be a momentum-swinging play. Kingsbury called the timeout, and the very next play, the Niners score. That's the difference in the ball game. Also, late in that contest, he challenges a play, probably a bad challenge. They're out of timeouts, and the Niners are able to convert to a first down and run the clock out. There were a couple bad calls from Cliff Kingsbury. He's just trying to find his way as a first-year head coach. As a guy making the transition from college football coach to pro football coach, challenges, fourth down calls, timeout calls, that's really what he's trying to navigate. But as far as the offensive play calling, he's clearly who we thought he was going to be, and maybe even more so. Just right there where he needs to be, putting Kyler Murray in a position to be successful, and that's all you could ask for with this experiment between Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray.
Hey, it takes some time. It takes about 3 years, as 49ers fans know, to get a ship righted when you gut a team and you bring in an entire new philosophy. I do want to talk more about Kyler Murray and that Cardinals offense against the 49ers defense. Let's get into some key matchups here on a Wednesday Locked On Podcast Network crossover. Brian Peacock of Locked On 49ers with Bo Brock of Locked On Cardinals. Away creates thoughtful products designed to change how you see the world. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/lockedon and use promo code Locked On during checkout. That's awaytravel.com/lockedon. Are you losing sleep at night over your unfiled tax returns or the large amount you owe the IRS or any other state tax agency? Does it feel like you're trapped and that these tax problems will never go away? Are you worried the IRS will garnish your bank account or your wages? Do you want to be free and put these tax problems behind you? Greg's Tax Service is your local tax resolution specialist. Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for over 25 years and is passionate about helping their clients resolve their tax issues and to get them all the deductions and credits they're entitled to when preparing their tax returns. Call or text Greg's Tax Service at 925-778-4871 to set up an appointment to find out the best options available to free you from your tax problems. Again, that's 925-778-4871. Call or text to set up an appointment, and if you qualify, they can help you settle with the IRS for less than the full amount you owe. Remember, Greg's Tax Service for all your tax needs. Greg's Tax Service is your local tax advocate, standing up and defending the rights of taxpayers. Find them online at gregstaxservice.com. Okay, the offensive side of the ball here, I'm with Bo Brock of Locked On Cardinals. This is Brian Peacock of Locked On 49ers. Love doing these crossovers. It's such a quick turnaround here with this Week 11 matchup with the Cardinals and the 49ers for us. We just saw Kenyon Drake, after about 3 days of being in Arizona, have his way with the 49ers. He had a great game running the football against the 49ers a couple weeks ago. And then last week, Kingsbury, did he just straight up bench David Johnson? Was this injury related to go with Kenyon Drake as the running back after a David Johnson fumble in the third quarter against the Bucs?
He was just playing the hot hand. He was going with Drake. They wanted to keep that momentum going. The same thing that they were going to do with Chase Edmonds. Edmonds suffered the hamstring injury right after he kind of took over the starting reins. Of course, David Johnson was dealing with an ankle injury at the time, but David Johnson has really shown that he's lost a step. He certainly has. He's not nearly the back he was in 2016. Obviously, he's on a big multi-million dollar contract. There's going to be a lot of guaranteed money remaining. But Cliff Kingsbury, Steve Keim, the general manager, have decided that they wanted to go out and get a guy who could run this offense from the running back position, and Kenyon Drake is certainly that. He showed what he can do in game one against the 49ers. They faced actually a surprisingly tough rush defense in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're pretty stout up front. Yep. Ndamukong Suh, Vita Vea, those are guys that really can get it done stuffing the run. So nobody was really running the football that well on Sunday. They looked to kind of turn back the clock a couple days to the success they had against San Francisco. We'll see if they want to do that. But yeah, but David Johnson certainly not in the favor of really Cliff Kingsbury's eyes as far as lots of reps, especially being that lead bell cow back that he once was. That's going to belong to number 41, Kenyon Drake. Don't expect anything different come Sunday.
I would assume then with the money that David Johnson has left on his contract, I don't know the cap ramifications, but he's got to be someone who is a likely cut then at the end of the season, no?
Yeah, it's not conducive to a cut. There's a lot of dead money there, Brian, So I don't think that's something that they can really realistically look at. It's either you're going to hold on to him and eat it, or you're going to find somebody that's going to absorb that deal for a late conditional round pick. I don't think that you can get much more from the production or lack thereof from DJ this season, unfortunately. I mean, it's just the realities, the ugly realities of the NFL, that if you're a running back, your shelf life is not long. And the Cardinals paid him for kind of past performance. They paid him coming off of a year where he saw basically a half of football, and all they could go off of was 2016, where he found the end zone 20 times. I get it. But there's a lot of guaranteed money in there. Maybe they can figure out a way, as far as cap experts, to reallocate those funds and make it easier. But the dead money's there, and if they can find a trade partner for either David Johnson or Patrick Peterson, there's been a lot of conversation about this week, that they could shore up about $15 more million come the offseason, and that would be huge for a rebuilding team.
When it comes to Kyler Murray, he was a couple weeks ago, the 49ers basically started their run of facing a bunch of mobile quarterbacks. Murray twice, they had Russell Wilson, obviously, they have Lamar Jackson coming up as well. And when it came to Russell Wilson, he's just impossible because you have to have rush lanes. You have to try to go get him. They did a pretty good job, but then by the end of the game, he was finding his escape routes and doing what Russell Wilson does and converting on 3rd and 16s. And it's just maddening. I'm wondering how you feel about the 49ers, how they attacked Kyler Murray, how you think they should go about it this week.
You know, they did a pretty good job as containing him, keeping him in the pocket. I've seen the last couple of weeks a couple design runs, which I think you have to put into your game plan with the athleticism that you're getting from Kyler Murray. But this is a Cardinals team that they're not going to see their bye week until week 12. This is, you know, they're playing consecutive game after consecutive game. I think that they were trying to put Kyler Murray in a position to survive that long haul and maybe take him out of positions to where he was going to take some hits that might linger from one week to another. And maybe they might be more apt to put him out there in a position to where he can make a play with his legs. I think it absolutely adds a different gear to this offense. Can they do it? Will they do it? That's another question. And then you just have to keep in mind with what's going on as far as that stout front seven from the San Francisco 49ers. They have the linebackers quick enough to keep those angles and keep Kyler Murray from turning those corners right now. Really, only Lamar Jackson's the guy that's going to turn the corner on you in the league. As athletic as Murray is. So, I mean, they're still going to be cautious. They're still going to take him out of positions to where he's not going to take a full-fledged hit. But I do expect him to try to get more going with his legs. But if they can contain him within the pocket, that's going to be a good job with the 49ers. And we know that they have the speed to at least secure a couple more sacks. Kyler Murray's just been taking care of the football pretty well all season long. 12 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. That's pretty good for a first-year signal caller. You can try to rattle him all you want, but he does a good job. Either if it's not there, he's going to get rid of the football.
We do have to make some predictions. We have a couple minutes here. I want to talk about the other side of the football and Emmanuel Sanders. I don't know if he's going to play Sunday, but he had his way with Patrick Peterson, and I was quite surprised by that. There was what looked like a bust in coverage when Peterson was covering Dante Pettis on the touchdown. He thought maybe he had help over the top or something like that. But when it was one-on-one with Peterson and Emmanuel Sanders, I was surprised how soundly Sanders beat Peterson in that matchup.
Yeah, undefeated Father Time. I mean, that's I think, what might be at play here. It might be just the rust of missing 6 games. Patrick Peterson's played this game at a high level. I mean, he's made 8 Pro Bowls. 7 of that has been as a cover corner. The other was as a kick returner. But Patrick Peterson, I mean, he was popped for PEDs. Is that something that plays in it? I mean, was it a one-time thing? I don't know. But the reality is the last couple games, you know, he hasn't been the player that we're used to seeing each and every week in a Cardinals uniform. And he has been torched. I mean, late in that contest, Jimmy G was able to throw underneath and find receivers open with quite a few yards of cushion, and that was against P2. It wasn't just against Byron Murphy, the rookie, or Tremaine Brock, who we know. It wasn't against Buda Baker. It was against Patrick Peterson, and I wouldn't say he's a liability on defense, but he's certainly not the player he once was right now. Is it the rust, or is it just this is where he is at this point in his career? Cardinals certainly need to help him out with their defensive scheme, whether that's their young safety core of Baker, Jalen, or Deontay Thompson. That remains to be seen, but they've got to do something. If it's Sanders against Peterson, I know he's probably got a chip on his shoulder, but Is he going to be able to keep up, especially playing him in the slot like Sanders excels? I don't think that's a good matchup for P2.
We saw Jimmy Garoppolo have his best game of the season against the Cardinals in that matchup. Is there anything you see that the Cardinals could do differently to try to sort of curb that passing game from the 49ers and make them maybe at least more one-dimensional like the Seahawks did last week?
Sure, yeah. I mean, if you can kind of take away, I mean, we've seen them do pretty fairly well against the run game, but as far as the pass game, and I was calling for this, and this was after we'd talked for our crossover, but when I was making my full-fledged game preview, I thought it was important that the Cardinals try to make Jimmy Garoppolo beat them over the top. And Garoppolo excelled and has excelled throwing the ball underneath, finding little soft spots in the defense, slants and all that. And he threw for four touchdowns. But if you try to make him beat you over the top, that's helpful. Another helpful thing is the thing that you brought up earlier was the potential of George Kittle being out. If it's Ross Dwelly, I know that opposing tight ends have just been a nightmare for the Cardinals. It doesn't matter who's wearing or playing tight end in the position. They're finding the end zone. They're having success. But if it's Ross Dwelly, Buda Baker needs to play like he did for the first quarter against the Niners on Thursday Night Football. He did a good job. And then Kittle, at the end of that quarter, he found the end zone. But before that, they had done a pretty good job. Extending that out for four quarters might be impossible, but that's what it's going to take, is slowing down the tight end position and maybe making Jimmy Garoppolo, Jimmy GQ, beat you over the top, not give him as much as you give him underneath.
And Chandler Jones will be a big part of that, too. And Garoppolo was harassed all night long against the Seahawks, and it looked like maybe Joe Staley and Mike McGlinchey tried to come back a little bit too soon at offensive tackle, and Clowney was killing both of them. And I know, I think, if I'm not mistaken, two more sacks from Chandler Jones. He leads the league right now in sacks, so that's a tough task for whoever is playing offensive tackle. Joe Staley has a finger issue now to go with him already coming back and looking rusty from his broken leg, so that could be an issue as well for Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers. But we don't have much time here, Bo. We do have to get to our predictions. I don't like the injury situation for the 49ers. If they can get one of those guys back, whether it's Sanders or George Kittle, I'll feel a lot better about the passing game and think that Jimmy Garoppolo can maybe not have quite as good of a game, but have a nice game and a nice bounce back. I expect an angry 49ers team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And that's just been week in and week out for the 49ers playing good defense. So I'm still going to pick a 49ers win, maybe a really bad week for the Cardinals to face the 49ers, an angry team, more time for Kyle Shanahan to draw some things up against the Cardinals. I've got it 30-17 49ers, an angry group getting a little bit of revenge from their first loss last week.
And we're looking at the mybookie.ag spread on that, and it's 11.5, so you have them covering. I kind of see what you're saying. I think that they're looking to regroup after their first loss, and it's a good opportunity for them. I'm curious if Kyler Murray, after that crucial late-game pick, if he's going to play with any kind of hesitation. If he does, I don't think that's going to bode well for the Arizona Cardinals and their offense. They have to be aggressive. They have to continue to try to push the envelope and find the end zone. I think you're right. This is just a bad matchup for the Cardinals, even with a couple of these injuries. They still succumb to opposing tight ends having success. I expect maybe the Niners to have a little bit more success on the ground against the Cardinals. But, I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I'll just say that they're going to probably lose this one 28-14.
We'll see what happens Sunday. It should be a fun one, Bo. We had a couple of quick ones here back-to-back, but we'll have to do it again in the offseason at some point.
Looking forward to it. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah, you bet. That's Bo Brock. You can find him on Twitter at Bo Brock, that's spelled B-O-B-R-A-C-K. You can find me on Twitter at B-D Peacock. Talk to you next time right here, Locked On 49ers.